with just a couple of verses here in 2 Corinthians and bring you our message. I confess to you from the beginning today that a lot of what I shared last week, I want to share with you again this week. I just believe it is that important, the message that we're sharing, particularly right here in this series that we're calling Victory in Jesus and discovering how to have victory over our adversary. And what I have perceived as 10 essentials to walk out the victory of the Lord in our lives every day. And the things that we're talking about last week and this week and the next week are things that maybe are not things that are, how can I say this? Not things that we generally understand or practice as believers in the church today or recognize the full significance of these things. What I'm going to do today, and I'm going to show you today why it is you have such a hard time being faithful and consistent in Bible study, in your personal time of Bible study. You're going to find out today why it is you have so much trouble being consistent in that. Why it is you have so much trouble getting up and coming to church and doing the things that you know you ought to do. And I'm just going to tell you that the enemy wants you to get a good day's sleep on Sunday morning so that you don't hear the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord is life changing. And he knows that. He knows that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He knows that our lives are transformed as we renew our minds to the word of God. And he doesn't want any of that. He wants us to continue to think the way of the world, the way that we've been raised up. And whether you acknowledge that or understand that or not, you really have, every single one of us are born into this world as sinful people, and we have a mind that tracks along the lines of the world, the flesh, the devil, these kinds of things. I'm going to show you scripture for all of this today. We call it human nature, and God needs to change that in order to change the kind of life that we live in the here and now. I got to read this scripture or I'll never get to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. The Apostle Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh," though we are in these bodies and we are in this fleshly body and in this natural world at this moment, he says, "we do not war according to the flesh." In other words, the weapons that we have to fight against our adversary are not fleshly, okay? We're not fighting a fleshly enemy. We're fighting a spiritual enemy. And so we have to use spiritual weapons against this enemy if we're going to walk out the victory of the Lord. So he says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." Your Bible may say strongholds. Let me tell you what I believe he's talking about there when he talks about strongholds and fortresses. We've already found out in this study that the battlefield is the mind. The battlefield is the mind. And in every one of our minds, believe it or not, there are fortresses, there are strongholds, there are lies of the enemy that we have heard time after time after time, year after year, some of us for decades, and we have accepted these lies because we've heard them so long, we have accepted them as the truth and believe that they cannot be changed. We just believe that. It's a stronghold of thinking in our mind, having received the lies of the enemy. But I want you to notice here, he tells us that even the strongest of strongholds can be broken by the power of God's weaponry. "For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of strongholds." We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Father, help me to share the message today that I believe you've put into my heart. Help me, Lord, to share it in simplicity. Help me to share it in truth. And I pray for the anointing of every person here today, that we would indeed have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. Encourage every one of us of the victory that belongs to us as children of God. And help us, Father, to long to walk out and walk into everything that belongs to us as children of God. Change our lives in this next hour, Father, and make us mighty for your name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're talking about victory in Jesus. We've talked about how we are battling a spiritual enemy, how God gives us spiritual weapons for the cause to tear down even the strongest of strongholds. Let me give you a couple of examples of the strongholds that I'm talking about. One of the greatest strongholds that the enemy gives to us is this, and we've accepted this for so long, we actually believe it's true. It's the lie that says, I can't. I can't. God calls you to do something and you say, I can't. God puts something on your heart and you wished you could, but in your mind you think, I can't. And because we don't believe that we can, more often than not, we don't even try. And so we're defeated before we ever get started. And this is an example of one of the strongholds of the enemy that he puts into our minds. Here's another one, a more specific one. We just read that the Bible says we can take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Most people think, I can't control my thoughts. The Bible just said you can. See? And so we've got to decide whether we're going to believe the stronghold in our mind, which comes from a lie from the enemy, or are we going to believe the Word of God? And the Bible tells us that God wants us to be free. God wants us to renew our minds to the Word of God, to begin to think about the things of life as God thinks about them, so that we can walk in the freedom that God has designed for us as children of God. God wants every one of us walking in complete freedom in this lifetime. Listen. Now you may ask the question, well, Pastor, I'm free. I'm not in bondage to anything. What do I need to get free from? Can I just tell you today that every single one of us, we have strongholds in our minds. We have fortresses in our minds. And we have things in our heart and in our lives that are holding us back from experiencing all that God has for us. We are in bondage to something. I guarantee you are. Somebody said, in fact, if you think that you're not in bondage, you're not only in bondage, but you're in denial of your bondage. Okay? You're like the Pharisees that came to Jesus. We've quoted the scripture a number of times over the last several weeks. When Jesus says in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You know how the Pharisees responded to Jesus when he said the truth will set you free? The Pharisees responded to Jesus and said, we're not in bondage to anything. What do we need freedom from? We're not in bondage to anything. In fact, they said it this way. We have never been in bondage to anyone. Think about that statement. Do you know anything about the history of Israel? Israel was always in bondage to somebody. Before Israel was even 12 tribes, she was living in bondage to the Egyptians for 400 years. She finally came out of Egypt under Moses and Joshua and came into the promised land. And it wasn't very long that they came under bondage to the Midianites. And then they came under bondage to the other Canaanites in the area. And then they came under bondage to the Philistines for a while. And they were always under bondage to somebody until God allowed the Babylonians to conquer them, and then they were in bondage to the Babylonians. And when the Persians conquered the Babylonians, then they were in bondage to the Persians. And when they are standing in the face of Jesus and saying, we've never been in bondage to anyone, they were living under the rule of the Romans. They were always in bondage. But too prideful, listen, here's my truth, too prideful to admit it. The truth of the matter is that all of us struggle with areas of bondage in our lives. If we're not too prideful to admit it, we can get free from it. See, understand this. When you got born again, you weren't all of a sudden free from all of the bondages and things of this world, the strongholds of your mind and all of these kinds of things. You weren't necessarily free from all of those things the moment you got born again. When you got born again, you became a child of God, and now you're destined for an eternity with God when you leave this world and when we step into eternity. I get that. But do you understand today that salvation is actually a progressive work? I want you to think with me. We are saved when we confess Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But there is a sense in which we are being saved as we journey through this lifetime and get set free from various bondages and habits and different things that we go through in life. We will be saved when Jesus comes again. Our bodies are not saved. Wish they were. When I got born again, I was still an amputee. I was still a cripple. When I got born again, it didn't change the fact that I got weak eyesight or that I have sinus problems or ringing in the ears or just take the tour right on down and just anything you want to name. These things didn't change, but they will change when Jesus comes again. The spiritual terminology of what I'm trying to say share with you is we are saved. We are being sanctified. We will be glorified. Saved, being saved, will be saved. But right now we're going through a process. And none of us are perfect, as Becky shared with us earlier today. We all have issues that we're dealing with and things that we need to get free from. And what we're trying to share with you is that part of the process of getting free from all of these things is what the Bible calls being transformed by the renewing of your mind to the Word of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we read it last week. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The J.B. Phillips translation says, "Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold." Did you know that most of us allow the world to shape our thinking? Most of us fall victim to peer pressure. Most of us fall victim to popular opinion, and we want to go with the crowd, and we all want to be accepted, and so we just go along to get along and all these kinds of things. And we let the world shape our opinions of the things of life when we should be letting the Word and the Spirit of God shape our opinion of what life really is. And we've got to learn to let go. We've got to learn to renew our minds to the Word of God. We've got to use the Word as a spiritual weapon and tool to break down the strongholds in our thinking so that we stop thinking the way of the world and we start thinking the way of the Lord. It's only then that we can be transformed from our inner man to our outer man and begin to experience the freedom that God wants us to walk in. We all struggle with bondages. Some people are in bondage to alcohol today. A lot of people are in bondage to pornography today. Some of us are in bondage to food today. We don't like to admit that one, do we? That's not a real popular one in church. Because usually you have a chicken dinner afterwards you got to go to. But we all struggle with things in life, and then we struggle with attitudes, and we struggle with anger, and we struggle with unforgiveness, and all of these things that we struggle with. And God tells us that if we will renew our minds to the Word of God and begin to train ourselves to think like He thinks, that we can break those strongholds, be set free from those bondages, and walk in a greater way in the peace and in the joy and in the victory of the cross in the here and now. God doesn't want us living in fear. God doesn't want us always worried about tomorrow. God doesn't want us anxious and fretting and frustrated and angry. He wants us to be at peace. And the way that we get there, brother and sister, is by setting our mind on the Lord. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And so God wants us to begin to think from a spiritual perspective, see things from His perspective. But the only way we can see things from His perspective is to get into His Word and find out what His perspective is. We're not born that way. And it doesn't happen automatically. We are born into a corrupt, fallen world, and we are corrupt, fallen human beings. And we think the way of the corrupt world, which is why we need to have our minds renewed to the Word of God so that we can think the way the Lord wants us to think, praise the Lord. And herein, brother and sister, is the place of spiritual warfare. I'll get to that more in just a moment. Let me look at a couple of passages with you quickly, if I could, please. Look back over at the Old Testament, and maybe just one for now. Look over at Psalms, Psalm number 1. We've shared with you several times already Proverbs 23 and verse 7, which says simply, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. And we've talked about the power of the mind. Not in the sense that there is a literal power, mental power that we project, but the fact that the mind is the control center of your life. The mind is where you're going to make your decisions. It's where you're going to make your choices. The mind is where you're going to decide, am I going to walk in the flesh or am I going to walk in the spirit? Am I going to do what I want to do or am I going to do what God tells me to do? The mind is that central place where those decisions are made. And that's why the mind needs to be getting its information from the Word and the Spirit of God so that it makes decisions that are in accordance with the will of God. You see, our mind in general gets its information from human senses. The information most of us have in our mind comes from what we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we taste. There's a fifth one. Don't remember what it is. There are five senses, and we gain all of our mental information through our physical senses. But God wants us to gain our information from His Word and by His Spirit. And did you know that sometimes the information we get from God will contradict the information that we get from the world? And then we've got to make a decision, which are we going to choose? Are we going to choose what the world is telling us? Or are we going to choose what God is telling us? Well, the classic example of that is the children of Israel coming to the border of the promised land. And God tells Moses, send 12 spies into the promised land and see what the promised land, see if it doesn't look everything like I told you it was. And God sent them in there simply to confirm that the promised land was everything God said it was going to be for the children of Israel. 12 spies went into the promised land. They looked it over. They surveyed the land. They saw the inhabitants. They saw the fruit. They saw that it was, in fact, everything God said it was supposed to be. They came back to Moses to give their report, and they said, man, it is awesome. The promised land is tremendous. It is just so awesome and beautiful. But there's a problem, Moses. There are giants in the land. And I don't believe we can take that land from those people. 10 of the spies did not believe they could take the promised land. Now you have to understand that God had already told them the land was theirs. God had already said, go into the promised land and take a look at the land, watch this, which I have given you. God has already told them the promised land belonged to them. It was theirs for the taking. 10 spies came out and said, I don't believe we can take it. 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, came out and said, we can surely take the promised land. God has promised it to us. God will go in with us. We can take the promised land. Let's go get it. Henry Ford, founder of Ford Motors Corporation, is famous for this quote. He said, whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you're right. And that's exactly where those 12 tribes fell. 10 of them believed they couldn't take the promised land, and they didn't. They never entered in. 2 spies said, we can take the promised land, and they did enter in, and they did receive all of the blessings and promises that God had for them. They made a choice. The options were set before them. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what the spies are saying? Or are you going to believe what God has already said? Joshua and Caleb made the decision that they were going to believe what God said instead of what their own eyes were telling them. They made a choice to believe God even when what God said contradicted what their own feelings was telling them. But because they were willing to listen to what God had said rather than what their feelings said, they were able to go in and take the promised land. Look at Psalm 1 with me, verses 1, 2, and 3. This speaks of the blessing of the renewed mind. He says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. And I guarantee you, we all have wicked sinners and scoffers who want to speak into our lives. And we have to make a decision. Are we going to let these kind of people speak in our lives, or are we going to listen to what God is saying in our lives? Notice it says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The one who prospers is the one who makes the decision to listen to God instead of listening to the world. He makes his choice that I'm going to go the way of God regardless of what the world says. And brother and sister, this is the place of spiritual warfare that all of us are in. We are all of us hearing from two different sides constantly about the situations of life. And the enemy is feeding us lie after lie after lie. And God has given us a book full of truth. And the devil doesn't want us to know that truth. And it's why he fights us whenever we make a decision that we're going to get into the Word and study the Word and find out what the Bible has to say about things. Most of us, instead of doing that, we just listen to whatever the world has to say. And we let the world shape our thinking for us. We let the world shape our moral values for us. We let the media shape our political thinking for us. We let people on the outside focus our thinking, determine our thinking, rather than focusing our minds on the Lord and reading His Word and determining from it how we're going to think and how we're going to act. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. If you think like the world, you're going to act like the world. But if you think like God, you'll act in righteousness by the Spirit of God. As a man thinks within himself, so is he. And that's where the attack is. That's where the spiritual warfare is. It's in our minds constantly that we have to resist constantly. And listen, notice it says here in verse 1. Psalm 1 verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. He meditates on it day and night. In other words, he says when he gets into the Word of God, he doesn't take just a second or two to read through it as quickly as he can so he can get on to something else. But rather he dedicates himself to spending the time that he needs to in the Word of God so that he can get out of the Word of God what God wants him to hear. He meditates on the Word of God. That means he reads it, he studies it, he dwells on it, he thinks about it, he lets it roll over in his mind and roll over and roll over until the Spirit of the Lord brings revelation and truth out of that Word that he can apply to his own life, and then he can begin to think like God in that particular situation. And that's what God wants for us. This is why it's so important that we renew our minds to the Word of God. Because if we're not renewing our minds to the Word of God, we're not going to think the way that God thinks, and we're not going to have the victory that God wants us to have. So, as I was thinking about all of this, I was reminded of a passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 55. Turn there with me. And we'll finish up last week's sermon right here. All right, Isaiah chapter 55. But I want to start in verse 6. And what I want you to see in this passage of Scripture from Isaiah 55, 6 through the end of the chapter is we see this whole process that I've just laid out for you of the need of coming to the Lord, of the need of repentance in our heart, of the need of renewing our mind, and the victory that comes to us when we renew our mind to the ways and thoughts and Word of God. Isaiah 55, verse 6. He tells us in that verse to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. That speaks to me of salvation, of coming to the Lord, of seeking God and coming to relationship with Him. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That speaks of repentance. We've talked about that recently. How repentance is vitally important for us to close the door on the enemy. If sin opens the door to the enemy, then repentance from sin will close the door on the enemy. Let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to God, repentance. And he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. You know, yesterday at men's fellowship, we were talking about how sometimes we have things going on in our lives that we're not comfortable sharing with anybody else. There are sometimes things in our life that are going on sometimes they're embarrassing and we don't want to talk about it with anybody else, or we don't want anybody else to know what's going on in our life. Just need to say to you, after I read this verse of Scripture that tells us that God is faithful, when we return to Him, He is merciful, compassionate, and gracious. I'm telling you that no matter what any of us have ever done in our life, God wants to forgive us. God wants to cleanse us of that. He wants to purge our hearts. He wants to make us right with Him. And so when we come with true repentant hearts, we'll find compassion and forgiveness from the Lord. Now look at verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Again, notice the connection between the two. Notice the connection between ways and thoughts. Because every way begins as a thought. It begins as a thought in our mind. Which is why if we can change our thoughts, we can change our ways. And God says, my ways and thoughts, they're different than yours. Your ways and thoughts are way down here. They're lowly. They're cheap. My ways and thoughts are way up here. I think on a different plane. I live life in a different way. You live life defeated. I can give you a life of victory. And so I want you to repent of the way that you think. I want you to repent of the way that you act. And I want you to receive my ways and my thoughts into yourself so that your life can be changed. How does that happen, Lord? How can we receive your ways and your thoughts? Well, look at verses 10 and 11. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I have sent it. What the heck does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. He says, just as the rain and the snow fall on the earth and cause the earth to be fruitful, so too my word, when it falls on your life and in your heart, my word will make your life fruitful. My word will change your life. You're thinking the way of the world. But if you'll think my thoughts, and if you'll walk in my ways, I can transform your life for you, and you can have a different life. Look at verses 12 and 13 and see if these don't confirm it. He says, you receive my word. It won't return to me empty. It will do what I've sent it out to do, which is to change our lives, transform our lives, save our souls. Look at verse 12. As a result, you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills will break into shouts before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. And instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. What does all that mean? He says, when you receive the word of God, it will produce the fruit of peace and joy in your life. It will produce such peace and joy in your life that your life will become a living witness for the world to see. Instead of your life producing worthless things, that's what in verse 13, the thorn bush, the nettle, these are worthless things. But he says, when you receive my word, instead of your life producing worthless things, your life will produce fruitful things. That's what the cypress and the myrtle are. These are fruitful things. These are valuable things. And they come as a result of the rain and snow falling and changing the earth. And when the word falls on our heart, it changes our heart in the same way so that it produces valuable things and precious things to the Lord. Things that become, the end of verse 13, a memorial, a testimony to the Lord, and an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. But brother and sister, listen. And next week I'm going to get very, very, very specific. What we do when we fill our hearts with the Word of God is that we equip ourselves for spiritual warfare. When the enemy's lies come to us because we have the Word of God in our heart, now we know what the truth is and we can resist those lies. We don't have to accept those lies. We can turn away those lies and not allow them to become strongholds in our mind that bring defeat to our lives. But brother and sister, listen, you and I have to be willing to enter into the battle. We have to be willing to enter into the battle. We'll look at David next week. And David went up against Goliath. And David had to go into the battle. And David had to sling the stones in order for the giant to be defeated. But David said it was God who gave him the victory. David had to walk it out, but God gave him the victory. I know sometimes we think about that verse of scripture in the Bible that says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And sometimes we think, well, what that means is that we don't ever have to raise a finger to do anything. God's going to do it all. That's not what that means at all. In fact, did you know, in the very next paragraph in that same story after that verse of scripture, God tells Israel what they need to do. So when God says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord," He's not saying, "You don't have to do anything. I'm going to do it all for you." What He's saying is, stop trying to do it in your own strength and listen to my instructions. Let me tell you what you need to do, and then once you've heard from me, go do what I say, and victory will be yours. And so next week we're going to talk about some very specific things about how we can use the Word of God as a weapon against the enemy, to pull down the strongholds, to defeat the enemy, to run him out of our lives, so that we stop believing his lies, start walking in the truth, and start experiencing the spiritual blessings that belong to us as children of God. Did you know? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing already belongs to us. The blessing of peace belongs to us. The blessing of joy belongs to us. The blessing of hope and love and faith, these things all belong to us. The blessing of the wisdom of God belongs to us. The mind of Christ belongs to us. The blessing of the strength of the Lord in the person of the Holy Spirit, it belongs to us already. But we walk in such a small, small amount of what God has already provided for us. And we live far below where we ought to be living as Christians. And instead of overcoming adversity, all too often we succumb to it. Instead of setting our minds on things above, instead of the mind of, on things of the world, we think about the problems. This is what the devil wants. The devil wants us to focus on the circumstances. Focus on the problem. Focus on the difficulty. Focus on the impossibility. Focus on what we can't do. That's where he wants us all the time. And if we don't take up the weapons of warfare that are given to us by God, then we don't have a chance of resisting him and overcoming him and walking out the victory of the Lord, you see. Point is, brother and sister, we've got to enter into the battle. Yes. We've got to do what God tells us to do. Because if we don't, we'll be defeated, even if we call ourselves Christians. I tell you again, the worst situation of my life happened to me because I did not do what God told me to do. And I knew what was right, and I knew what I should have done, and I knew how I should have resisted, and I did none of it. And as a result of it, my life and nearly everything else in my life was destroyed for a season. And I asked the Lord when it was all over, because I prayed in the midst of those things. God, do something. And God said to me, I said, God, why didn't you do anything? And God said, I gave you everything you needed to defeat the enemy, and you did nothing with it. And that's why you lost. We need to enter into the battle. We can't stand back, because the devil will play us like fools, and he'll destroy our lives. And then, and here's the worst thing. He tempts us to do all this stuff, and we fall for his lies, and we do what he tempts us to do. And then once we fall into the trap and the destruction comes, then he stands back and laughs at us because of the fool that he made us to be. And I'm just telling you, brother and sister, it does not have to be that way. We can walk in victory. The Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory belongs to us. Jesus already won it for us. He wants us to walk it out. The question is, will we make the decisions that need to be made? And will we do the things that he's telling us to do to walk in the victory that he's already provided? That's where we're going next week. Let's pray together. Father, as always, I thank you for the opportunity to share the word of the Lord with our precious congregation here today. Our Facebook viewers, Father, we thank you for all who look in each week to follow our messages here at our little church. I pray, Father, that the word of the Lord has found fertile soil today. I pray that the word of the Lord has found hearts that are open and receptive, minds that are willing to admit, yeah, there's some problems here. There's some issues that I need to deal with. There's some strongholds in my life that need to be conquered, overcome, and torn down. God, give us a humble heart and a willingness to admit that there is much more work yet to be done. And we thank you, Father, that we don't battle on our own, but you walk through the battle with us. And you are in the fire with us. You take us through the flood, for you are there with us. And your word promises us even today, you are with us and you are in us. And that if we walk hand in hand with you, victory will be assured. So, Father, I pray as we continue through this series, we would lay hold of these truths of spiritual warfare that will help us to lift our sights, overcome our enemy, and walk in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me today, just a few moments as we bring our service to a close today, and stay in an attitude of prayer.